is Hot Stove Time on WCBS, your place for hot talk about the Bombers. Sponsored by Peerless Boilers. Visit peerlessboilers.com for a dealer near you. Now, here's your Hot Stove host, Susan Waldman.
And a very good evening, everybody, and welcome to our very first Hot Stove Yankee Hot Stove. And it's a perfect night for it, isn't it? It's very cold. It's going to snow. And we're going to talk about baseball and pitchers and catchers report on Valentine's Day. A little more than a month away, no, a little less than a month away. So let's get right to it and bring in the manager of the New York Yankees, and that is Joe Girardi. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Well, I'm fine, thanks. Getting a little anxious here. Now that I'm talking to you, I'm getting really anxious. You know, I want to go back to that day in Dallas when I was watching you in that screening area. Remember when we were getting screened to go back to New York after we lost that game? And I watched your mind going. And am I wrong, or had your mind already started going to what went wrong and what I can do for next year and what we're going to do next?
You know, I started thinking about next year and how we get better and things that we needed to do and things that we needed to improve on. And you look at our year, and we were two games away from going to the World Series. And, you know, it's frustrating for us when we don't get to the World Series because we believe that that's where we're supposed to be every year. And you start thinking about the next year and how you improve.
You know, I always hate to say, well, what went wrong? I mean, you lost the game. That's what went wrong. But, you know, you got so close to going to the World Series. Was there, if you could put your finger on a problem, was there one thing that you said, that was it? If we had just done this or just done that, we would have gotten to the World Series.
You know, when I look at the Texas series, you know, it was similar to the Minnesota series. In the Minnesota series, we out-hit, we out-pitched, and we out-played the Twins. In the series against Texas, they did it to us. I mean, they out-pitched us, they out-hit us, and they just outplayed us. And I don't think we played nearly as well as we were capable of playing. And that happens sometimes. And that's the frustrating part about it, is because we knew that we were a better team than what we showed against Texas. But that's baseball, and you have to put it behind us and try to get better.
You know, I know as a catcher, and I know as a manager, from listening to you, so much of what goes on, and it always has. It's always pitching, and all you have to do is look at the San Francisco Giants to see that it is always pitching. CeCe, who evidently we didn't know that had a problem with his knee, and that starting rotation, CeCe, who never really missed anything, who pitched through that, was that a problem? The knee going into the series?
You know, it wasn't. At times, Susan, you could see how it maybe bothered him a little bit. But it was kind of come and go. He would have a couple starts and it wouldn't bother him, and you never knew the day that it was going to bother him. And usually, when it did bother him, you could see it through his command. He didn't have the command of his pitches. Sometimes he was, you know, up in his own. Sometimes he was pulling off. And that was always our concern about CeCe, was, you know, how would his knee hold up? And, you know, we had been through it for so long during the course of the season, you kind of put it behind and say, you know, he's going to be able to get through it. You just always wonder if his command's going to be as good as it can be.
Well, you have that in the pitching rotation. Obviously, Phil Hughes is another year older, hopefully another year better. AJ, you know, we all have those years, and whatever that was, he has said it put it behind him. Larry Rothschild, not besides being one of the best people you've ever met, is an awfully good pitching coach and really seems to be able to get into the heads of pitchers and has had some interesting kind of pitchers. How do you think that relationship will be going forward with Larry and Larry with this staff?
Well, I think any time you form a new relationship, it takes time, and you have to, you know, there's trust issues that are involved and getting to know that person and knowing what his keys are and, you know, what gets him back to whatever he needs to be doing. And that takes time. But Larry has a ton of experience. You know, he's been a pitching coach for a long time and has worked for a lot of different pitchers and a lot of different personalities. And he's already had many discussions with AJ. He's seen AJ. They talked about some minor adjustments. And when I look at AJ, I think AJ's out to prove that last year is not the AJ. It was the year before when we saw him so dominant in the playoffs. And I think he's going to have a great year for us.
Well, you know he wants to. That is one thing that you get when you talk to AJ. I see that you've spoken to Andy Pettitte. It's good to know that he's throwing, just in case he decides he does want to play. It doesn't seem like there's any timetable. Would you be surprised if he just called you one day and said, I want to play?
No, I wouldn't be surprised that, you know, at some point he's going to make a call on what he wants to do. But I think he's doing it the right way. he's trying to physically prepare his body so he can make the decision, or he could go either way. You know, if you're not physically prepared, then all of a sudden it's probably a little bit easier decision to say, you know what, I couldn't pitch anyway, so I'm going to retire. I think he's being fair to himself by preparing to pitch, and if he decides he wants to pitch, he can pitch, and if he decides he doesn't, then he can retire. But whatever, he's been a great Yankee for a long time, and I think all of us are hopeful that he'll come back because of the type of pitcher he is, but probably more important, the type of person he is.
You know, I know that you went through this as, you know, we all get older. Everybody gets older. And Russell Martin is coming in. And when he's been healthy, he's been a pretty darn good player. Have you talked to him? And how hard is this going to be for you? You know what Jorge Posada has given to this team. You know what he's like. How, and you know what happened when Jorge actually took your job and was ready to take over. How hard is that going to be to placate Jorge, who says all the right things about being a DH, and he understands, but you know what kind of a guy that is. And what does this do to this dynamic between Jorge and Russell and you?
Well, I think a lot of it depends on how we're doing as a club. I think if we're winning as a club and things are going well, I don't think it's going to be a real difficult transition because he's had time to think about it, and he's going to have time to adjust to being the DH. If we're not doing well, I think all players feel that they can always do more, and especially a guy like George, who's got tremendous heart. He's going to feel like he could do more and give back more, and that could be a difficult part for him because he's going to be anxious to maybe get behind the plate again. But I think a lot of it depends on how we start off and how we play during the course of the year.
Are you happy with the way this team is starting to shape up? I know you'll get enough. There will be somebody out on the mound on days 4 and 5. But with Soriano and that bullpen, you know, that covers up an awful lot of faults if the game can be ostensibly over after the 7th inning.
You know, I believe that we can shorten our games a lot because I still think, you know, you look at Soriano and Rivera, we still have a lot of good arms that are still down there, and we have two left-handers in our bullpen. I think you can really shorten a game with our bullpen, and that takes a little pressure off of our starters. You don't have to expect the distance, and maybe they don't have to log in as many innings. And, you know, I'm excited about our bullpen. I'm excited about this season and this club, and, you know, because there was a lot of disappointment when we left Texas last year, and a lot of times that can be a great motivating factor going into a new year.
And, Joe, I thank you so much, and we will do this again in a couple of weeks, and see you soon.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, Susan. I'm looking forward to getting out of the snow, too.
Okay. All right, Joe. Thanks a lot, Joe Girardi. And, hey, Yankee fans, don't let this Arctis blast leave you in the cold. Get an American-made Energy Star certified Peerless Boiler. Go to peerlessboiler.com for more info and to find a dealer near you. Remember, Peerless builds America's best boilers. We'll be right back. We'll talk to Brian Cashman, Jeff Nelson, Mark Feinsand of the Daily News, and the one and only Don Mattingly.
To Hot Stove Time on WCBS, sponsored by Peerless Boilers. Here's your Hot Stove host, Susan Waldman.
And we are back here, and we are talking Yankees Hot Stove as we are sitting and waiting for the snow, which is going to come a little bit overnight here in New York. But let's talk to the general manager of the New York Yankees as spring is right around the corner, and as is Yankee baseball, and that is Brian Cashman. Hi, Brian. How you doing?
Hey, Susan, how are you?
Okay, you're all recovered from rappelling down that building and everything. It was very good.
Yeah, that was easier than my winter's gone so far, but we're not done yet. If we can get a starting pitcher, I think we'll be good.
Okay, I'm sure someone will be on the. I just was talking to Joe Girardi. I said someone will be on the mound on those 4th and 5th days, and you know the hot stove. Whoever wins the hot stove winter, I've never seen a correlation really in who wins the World Series. But you talk about this off season, not really the off season you had hoped for with Cliff Lee, and everybody knew that you were targeting him. You must have known that there was a possibility that he wouldn't come here. Did you really believe that he would come here?
Well, yes. I mean, ultimately, you know, the way things work, obviously we made a significant offer. There's no guarantees of anything, but there was enough information, you know, in this small game that we participate in that this guy wanted to come here and was conveying that to, you know, former teammates of his and things of that, and players on our team. That, so we had a lot of dialogue with our current players, like this guy, I've talked to him yesterday, he's coming, this is where he wants to be, all that stuff. And you know, as long as, you know, our offer is out there, which turned out to be the highest, and if that stuff held up true, you expect it to happen, but it didn't, you know, and you know, so that was a surprise, but that also can happen. I mean, free agency is very volatile. So once the Phillies jumped in, he jumped out.
You know, you are always so precise in looking around, and you leave no stone unturned. I know you do due diligence and look at everybody, and I know you must have had some contingency plans. I know the idea, everybody wants everything done before you get to spring training, but there's a lot of time that passes, and pitchers get released, and pitchers come back from injuries faster than normal or not so fast, and people want to trade. Do you always have that in the back of your mind, that if you're not going to get a number one guy like a Cliff Lee, there's a whole season coming up, and there's spring training, and there's other ways to get a starting pitcher than doing it immediately?
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, but unfortunately, you know, put all the eggs in the Cliff Lee basket. As a weak free agent market, the contingencies that we had an interest in, if we, you know, closed somebody out early, would have prevented us from signing Lee later. And so guys like a Kuroda on a 1 year, or some other guys like that were in the mix that would have had an interest on the board, they're already gone. I mean, the Lee decision got down late, and by the time he made his decision, you know, the free agent cupboard was somewhat bare and empty. So I know people say, well, I didn't have a plan B. I don't think that's necessarily fair. I think it's more of I put all the eggs in Cliff's basket based on a lot of information, and also believing he was a player that's worth waiting for, but recognizing that it's possible it doesn't happen, and it didn't. And so plan B is patience, or was patience, and waiting for, you know, the things to develop over time. If that takes us into March or into April or May, so be it. And I was prepared for that.
The Jeter situation, you know, you are you, and everybody handles things their own way. Would you have handled that whole situation any differently? And I would imagine, knowing you and knowing Derek, it's over, and you're all going to come to camp, and there isn't going to be any lingering effect of that.
I'm sorry, the question was basically, would I have done something differently?
Mm-hmm.
Not really. I mean, I was very honest in the negotiations that were private, and when they became public, I think basically the small side of it is there are a lot of opinions being written about, what he should be making, how he should be, treated in terms of the contract, and opinions on where he was going. And I think that their side of the fence confused that with being the Yankees smearing his image and, like, trying to set up a negotiating foundation for ourselves, and that wasn't the case. And we conveyed that to them, but so they felt compelled to respond and take a public position that hadn't been taken by the Yankees, and we weren't taking private positions. And so when they went public, then ownership, Randy Levine and our ownership had a conference call with me and said, listen, we've got to respond to this. You know, they've gone public and decided to take some shots, and we need to respond to it, and they authorized me to do so. So I did.
Okay. Soriano obviously has gotten a lot of play here, and I loved your quote yesterday when you said there are a lot of general managers who would love to have Rafael Soriano, you know, thrown down their throat. But he's here and whatever, and I think I understand where you were coming from. But what does this mean for Jabba and David Robertson? And did you really think that the two of them, one of them, could emerge as the eighth inning guy?
Oh, no question. I felt that either of them are capable, or, you know, of at least taking a run at that, along with potential trade opportunities that always develop, like Kerry Wood did last year. You know, putting together the bullpen, I think every year people are like, how are we going to build a bridge? And I've heard people talk about there is no bridge. Well, I'd scratch my head and say, you know what, I think we've bridged it every year, quite nicely the last number of years, whether it was Phil Hughes in 09, whether it was Jabba prior to that, whether it was Kerry Wood with the cast of characters last year. We've never had really a problem getting that done, and I had full confidence in we can do that going forward. So obviously the disagreement wasn't in terms of the player, but the efficient way to utilize our resources, spending that kind of money for the three outs in the eighth inning, and for me that wasn't the case, plus the draft pick. But we are significantly better with his acquisition. organization. There's no doubt about that.
You know, one more quick question here, and we'll ask you about when it's official. We'll ask you about Andrew Jones and Russell Martin and stuff. But Andy Pettit, I mean, it's January 20th. Are you really okay with him getting in shape? And if he comes back, he comes back. Or have you sort of put that on the back burner? And if he calls you and says, "Cash, I want to pitch. Can I come to camp?" It's okay.
Yeah, basically, because I I've stayed in touch with Andy throughout the entire winter. He has been great to talk with. I know exactly where and what he's up to and what he's doing. Is he prepared to play at this point? No, he's not. If he chooses to play, he'll be ready if he chooses to. I mean, if he calls me up tomorrow and says he's in, he will have already been prepared to do so. You know, at this stage, it's hard as home, and that always can change, but right now that's not the case. He said that was going to be the potential case of when the Texas series ended in the playoffs, and that's maintained thus far, but we'll see. Time will tell, but as you said earlier, we will definitely be running somebody out there to pitch for us, and it may very well be someone from our farm system, but in the meantime, it's my job to find something better. I do believe that we will have a very strong rotation when the season starts. I have no doubt about that.
And you know what? It's January 20th. And you don't have to make that decision right now. Brian, as always, I thank you very much. We'll talk to you real soon.
Thanks, Susan.
Okay. Well. Brian Cashman, Yankee General Manager. We will be right back after this.
Hot Stove Time continues on WCBS, sponsored by Peerless Boilers. Here's your host, Susan Walden.
And we are back here on Hot Stove. And, you know, from 1996 through 2000, and gee, that kind of coincides with four championships, doesn't it? You know, there was never a problem getting first to, John Wetland and then Mariano Rivera from the right side. Because when Jeff Nelson came in, you didn't wonder when the disaster was going to happen. I must have said a billion times on the air that this team hasn't had a right-handed setup guy since Jeff Nelson walked out the door. And why is that? Well, let's go find out. Let's go down to Yankees Fantasy Camp, and joining us from Tampa is XM Radio's great analyst, Jeff Nelson. Hello, Nelly. How are you?
I'm good. Enjoying the nice weather. I know you guys are going to get hit by snow again, aren't you, tomorrow or tonight?
Yes, tonight. I love snow, so I can't have enough snow. I love that. That's great. You know, if it's cold, you put a coat on here. But
exactly.
Are you finding any, you're looking for starters down there at Fantasy Camp, I gather, right?
Well, I tell you what, I think you're going to keep looking, because all of them are ages from like 32 to like, I think there's an 84-year-old guy here down at Fantasy
God
Camp.
Bless him.
He's been here for like 17, 19 years. It's amazing.
Oh, well, you might as well let him dry out. There's, you know, no harm on it. You know, I was kidding about the right-handed setup, man, and I've said that to you. I mean, why is it so hard? You look at people's stuff. You look at Jabba's stuff. You look at David Robertson's stuff. Why doesn't it always translate? What is it about that role that seems to be or has seemed to be so hard to fill for the Yankees?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with where they're playing, and that's in Yankee Stadium. I think a lot of it, you know, it's so hard for young guys. I mean, you look at Robertson, you look at Chamberlain. I mean, Chamberlain's still a young guy. I mean, even though he's been in the major leagues, I mean, 2008, in 19 innings, and he does outstanding for those 19 innings. And I think everybody put him on a pedestal so high that it was probably hard for him to live up to, and he never has been able to live up to it since. It's just the atmosphere. I mean, you're coming into a situation. You're setting up one of the best closer, or the best closer in all of baseball, Mariano Rivera. Plus, it's New York. You're expecting to win. The media is very, it's a strong level of media. The fans are very passionate, and there's a lot to get over. And if you don't do well, I mean, you got to be able to have the ability to put, you know, bad games behind you. And you're trying to do it in the toughest place possible, and that's in New York City. And it's been tough for them to find that guy in the seventh, eighth inning.
Well, you know, you brought up a really good point. I remember, I think it was you, I'm pretty sure it was you, that said that you have to realize that when they boo, if you do badly, it's not personal. The result. And I think that there are a lot of kids, Jabba says all the right things, but I look at his eyes when he gets booed off the field. You know, he is young. He's 24 years old, or 25 now. That's got to be tough.
It is tough. I mean, but at the same time, when you realize that they're going to, when I was playing, they're going to boo Bernie Williams, they're going to boo Derek Jeter, they're going to boo Roger Clemens, you know, Cecil Fielder came in, Tim Raines. I mean, they don't leave anybody out. So at least you're not singled out. You're saying, hey, if they can boo Bernie Williams, then they can certainly boo me, and it's okay. So you want to try to limit those times and have more cheers than boos, but understands the New York fans are very passionate, and they do know a lot about baseball. And also, you know, at the same time, that you have to realize that you are going to fail every once in a while. I know the fans don't let you fail, and they don't want you to fail. They expect 100% all the time, but you can't give that all the time.
All right, you've seen a lot of this American League East, and you're at most games and watch all of them. The addition of Soriano looks really good on paper. But Tampa's a different animal, and this is a guy who's been through a lot of teams. What do you see there, and how good can he be? I liked what he said yesterday, that one of the reasons he's here is because of Mariano. I hope that's true, because if that's what he wants to be, then I like that attitude. But you saw a lot of him. How successful can he be here?
Well, you know, when I played with him in Seattle, and he was a young guy then that, you know, it seemed like he needed a vacation every year. He needed to go on the DL for like 2 to 4 weeks. He was just that kind of a player. Now I think he's turned the corner and he's turned around and he's stayed healthy. And mentally, he wants to be out on the mound. Mentally, he wants the ball. Being a closer, I mean, he led the league with 45 saves last year. You don't know how he's going to do in New York. Yeah, he's gone and he's pitched well against, you know, everybody in the American League. He had an outstanding year last year with the Rays, and probably one of the biggest reasons why they won the AL East. But you don't know how he's going to do. But you've got to figure, okay, a guy with 45 saves, he's got to be able to be successful, or at least the majority of the time, no matter where he's going to play. And like you said, he said that he's going to enjoy being around Mariano Rivera. And I think Mariano Rivera can be a big influence on him. Like you mentioned earlier, that they haven't had a solid guy that's been able to do the job in a long time there in New York in the seventh and eighth inning. They've had those times because Mariano's had great years. But now they have a consistency. They have a guy in Soriano they can count on. They should be able to count on. It'll just be interesting. You know, I don't think with Tampa Bay that very rarely did they have him go more than three outs. It was basically the ninth inning, and that was it. And so he may be, you know, asked to do that more often now that he's going to be the seventh and eighth inning guy. And how many times can he go two innings and come back the next day? So that's the biggest question mark. I think he'll have success, and I think it's going to be a good addition. I mean, if you get over the amount of money that they pay him to do that, I think it's a good addition.
Well, it's not our money, so what do we care? And yeah, I will let you go back to fantasy camp. It's a great time down there. Thanks a lot. We're going to do this again, Jeff, okay?
Definitely, Susan. Great talk to you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Jeff Nelson down in Tampa. We'll be right back, and we will talk to the beat writer for the Daily News, our buddy Mark Feinstein, after this. Don't forget, coming up a little later, Don Mattingly. I'll be right back.
We'll return to Hot Stove Time on WCBS after this.